Beatitudes. And so we've gone over how many Beatitudes? We've gone over three, and today we're on number four. So what Jesus is actually telling us is, if you are going to operate in the kingdom of God, what Jesus is saying is, this is how you are to live. And all of God's people said,
amen.
Amen. So today I really want to begin with a story, and many of you know Marcia, some of you don't. But Marcia was a wonderful woman, and she had actually helped us start this church. I'm so glad that the Lord sent Marcia to be here. So I want to tell you a little bit about Marcia. Her family was strictly Protestant. Her father was kind of a tough guy, and really he wanted little to do with Catholics. So Marcia fell in love with a Catholic man, and right after that, her father forbid her to ever see that man again. And so even though he wanted to marry her, her father said, no way. So Marcia said that she I remember describing herself, she said to me, you know, I was never very pretty. I hated to have her say this, but she used to say this to me. I always had huge buck teeth that had to be pulled when I was 20 years old. And then she described herself as thick around the middle. And she said she had the worst legs any woman has ever had. So suitors for her were really hard to come by. And her father would keep rejecting the men that came to her. But she said, I had a dream that one day I would get married and one day I would walk down this aisle. But eventually, Marcia went to Israel. She became a missionary midwife. And she brought hundreds of people's babies into the world. Hundreds. But then one day, she met this man, and his name was Herbert. He was a handsome, handsome guy, and he was also a missionary doctor. Perfect match. He was everything she ever wanted. Now, I used to say to her, what were your requirements? She would say, tall, blue eyes, and kind. And he always wore a clean shirt, starch white collars. How many know Marcia would like that? And one of her biggest, this was one of her biggest requirements for her husband. And so her heart was full of love and happiness for this man. And one day he proposed to her. And they actually set the wedding date. They would marry in Galilee. That's the hospital they were at. And they eventually would get married at the Sea of Galilee in August with friends and family. But Herbert was a doctor, and he did not want to do anything without asking Marcia's father. So he went from Israel as a doctor, flew to the United States, asked Marcia's dad if he could marry Marcia. He wanted to do what was proper and right. On his way back, he decided to stop in Italy, where he was going to buy her the ring, and it was beautiful. So Marcia was crazy, excited. Finally, at the age of 38, she was going to get married, and she was going to begin to have her family. It wasn't too late for Marcia. God had answered her prayer, and now her life was set. Herbert, though, on his way back to Israel, was beaming over this wedding. And he decided to stop in Jordan. So he's going from the United States to Italy to pick up the ring to go to Jordan, see his brother. And while he was there, Herbert met Betty. And Betty, too, was a missionary nurse. And Herbert, after meeting her, got very, very confused. And so he left Jordan after about a week, and he traveled back to see Marcia. And Marcia had been busy with all the wedding plans on the Sea of Galilee, and she was ready for the wedding. But Marcia said that when Herbert came back, Herbert arrived back in Israel, she said she knew something had happened. She said he was distant from her. He never even showed me the ring he bought me, and never, from that point on, never talked about the wedding ever again, and the wedding was just 2 weeks away. 2 days before the wedding, Herbert said to Marcia, we need to go for a walk. And at that walk, Herbert told Marcia that his heart and his mind no longer belonged to Marcia, and he was never going to marry her. He had met another woman, and he wanted to figure out which woman he should marry, and so he told her about Betty. Actually, Marcia knew Betty. Isn't that wild? In Israel, she knew Betty. And so they had both been missionary nurses, actually in the same training school. They had grown close, and they had been in touch for many years. So at that point, he left Marcia, and he left her there by the Sea of Galilee, unmarried. And Marcia said she went up to her room, I can see this, threw herself on her bed, and cried for 5 hours. Can you see Marcia doing that? If you know Marcia, that's exactly what she would do. Then she heard something. The Lord started to talk with her. The Lord said to her, Marcia, dry off your tears, honey. I have another plan for you. Will you come after me? Will you hunger for me? Will you let me fill you with every good thing? Wow. And then he said this to her, which she'll never forget. Never talk bad about Hebert to anybody, what he did to you. Trust me with your life. I am going to help you. She said she dried off her tears, got out of her bed, went downstairs. She was sad, though, she said, and she carried a very, very heavy heart for many, many years over the loss of that wedding. How about you? Ever been there? Have you ever had such disappointment in your life and you had a hard time dealing with your disappointment? And when you didn't get satisfied, you started to go everywhere else looking for something else. Can you identify? Yes, you can. Some of you can. You know, we all will run after something, amen? And oftentimes the things we run after, how many know, don't even fill us. They don't even fill us. So today I want to talk about this because this is actually the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus is going to be absolutely clear. How are you to live in the kingdom of God? And when you hear the words of Christ, you will know. So today we're on the what? Fourth Beatitude. And the fourth Beatitude is, open up your Bible, Matthew 5, 6. These are spiritual principles. And the spiritual principle Jesus is telling you to live by is what? Let's go over it. Verse 6, Matthew 5, 6. Y'all have it? Let's say it together. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Let's say it again. Blessed are you who hunger and thirst for righteousness. You will be filled, or you will be satisfied. This morning I want to talk with you about this because this is absolutely essential if you're going to live in the kingdom of God. And I want to begin with what I'm going to call the analogy, because that's really what Jesus is doing here. He's giving you an analogy. Because he's saying what? Blessed are you who what? Hunger and thirst. So I looked up the word here, Greek word for hunger, and it's pinaotes. And really what he means is, blessed are you who are needy. Blessed are you who are what? Blessed are you if you suffer hunger. You're blessed if you're suffering hunger. Here the idea has to do with, I'm hungry. I'm actually desperate. That's what Jesus is saying. If you are desperate for food, you are you're blessed. So we're not talking about superficial hunger. And this is hard for us to identify with because in our country, you guys can have food when? Anytime. And it's easy accessible to you. But you're not blessed. He's saying, blessed are you if you are what? Hungry, like you've never had food before. That's what Jesus is talking about. Like, like you haven't eaten in a month. You haven't eaten in a month. You have no food for a month. And all of a sudden you show up at a table. And at that point you are what? Hungry. Jesus says, blessed are you if you're desperate for this food. The word here for Greek for thirst is dipsao. And it carries the exact same thing. So not only are you blessed if you're hungry, but he's saying you're blessed if you're what? Thirsty. So can you imagine being thirsty? But this thirst is not like, oh, I'm a little thirsty. This thirst is like it's 100 degrees out and you haven't had a drop of water for 30 days. Correct? No water for 30 days. And Jesus looks at you and says, if you haven't had water for 30 days, you are what? You're blessed. You get the concept? So this is not like, oh, I don't know. I kind of see the opposite side of this is snacking, which I'm going to call what most American Christians do. What do? We don't hunger and thirst. We what? Snack. You all understand snacking? It's like you always have enough food, but occasionally you just need a little bit more. So what do? You snack. I mean, this is what Christians do all the time. What are you doing? You're what? Some of you are already doing this, right? You are what? You're not hungry and thirsting. What you're doing is what? Have a little snack. Let me be clear. You are not blessed. Jesus doesn't say, you snack, you're blessed. Does he? No. He says what? You hunger and thirst. So if a Christian says, well, I just need to have a little Bible today, all you really are doing is what? Snacking. And Jesus says you are not blessed. Because all you're doing is having a snack. And all God's people said. Do you understand? Now don't forget, these are the principles, if you're a Christian, operating in God's kingdom. He's telling you what needs to happen. You see, our physical life depends on food and water, correct? And it's not wrong to hunger. Actually, it's necessary. It's common. Actually, I think we would all agree this: you cannot live without food or water, correct? You see the analogy. What is Jesus trying to say then with that analogy? It's very clear. Really what he's saying is just like food and water are necessary for you just to have physical life, correct? I mean, you agree? You wouldn't make it without it, right? Just as you are dependent on that, what Jesus is saying is righteousness is what? Absolutely necessary for your, not physical life, for your spiritual life. It is what? Absolutely necessary. This is the comparison Jesus is making here from the physical to the spiritual life. And our hunger and our thirst, what Jesus is saying is, for righteousness is what? Absolutely necessary for you to make it in the kingdom of God. You cannot make it in the kingdom of God without righteousness. You must what? Hunger and thirst after righteousness. It's a strong impulse. Take a look at your life. As Christians, are you operating by this principle, or is this like far, far from you? You see, it's a strong impulse. Just like water and food are strong, how many know righteousness in the life of a believer is absolutely strong in the life of a believer? And all God's people said.
Amen.
Jesus is perfectly clear. How many know ambition is good? Nothing wrong with ambition. But how about ambition for the wrong things in your life? Tell me if you have ambition, but the ambition you have is for wrong stuff in your life. Let's get it clear. Well, you will be destroyed. And all God's people said.
Amen.
Have you ever looked at your life and said, what am I ambitious for? Some of you may. Some people might say, well, I'm ambitious for success. You're not blessed. I'm ambitious for what? Pleasure. Let me live for myself. You are not blessed. Some people say, I need control of my life. You are not blessed. Correct? He's talking about you hunger and thirst for what?
Righteousness.
If you keep going after what you're hungry for, you will be destroyed. How many of you figured this out in life already? If you got the first three Beatitudes down, this fourth Beatitude will follow. Amen? And I really want to encourage you. Many people today are hungering for all the wrong things. And guess what? They are starving. Correct? That is what Jesus Christ is saying. I was looking at this picture, and as I saw this picture, I really had a hard time looking at this. You see those people there? They are what? How many of you like to look at hungry people, barely seeing all their bones? They have nothing on them except their bones. You find it easy to look at that picture? I don't. But Jesus would say, actually, what they're experiencing is the horrors of what? They do not have enough physical food to keep them alive. And that is horrible. But I want you to look at the next picture. For as horrible as that is for a person, so is that right there. That is a horrible picture too, isn't it? That's a horrible picture. It's filled with death. It's filled with sorrow. It's filled with there's no life in that person's life. Jesus is saying, in comparison to the horror of the physical not having enough, spiritual hunger that is unfulfilled, spiritual hunger that you're saying, I'm hungering and thirsting for this spiritual life, if it's unquenched, that is actually how you look. And all God's people said. Now, some of you would say, Pastor, I would never see myself that way. I'm not asking you to see yourself that way. God sees you that way. Not me, Pastor. That's not me. Oh, no. Some of you, it is you. That is you. Don't fool yourself. That is you. You are filled with death. You have hungered and gone after all the wrong stuff in your life. And that is you. It's a hard thing to look at, isn't it? Wow. But I want to say to some of you, that may actually be your spiritual condition. Look at this. You see that man? That man has been feeding. Do you like the man? See who he's with? He's with who? Pigs. He's living with pigs. He is called the prodigal son. And as he lives with pigs, and all his ambitions are for himself, he is totally emptied. He's feeding off the pogs. You see, the prodigal son tries to fill himself with what? Everything he thinks he needs to make his life right. And he is totally wrong. Correct? He has not gone after righteousness. He has filled his life with all the wrong things. And he, in the sight of God, is sitting with pigs and living with pigs. It is the exact picture today. Make no mistake about it. You see, hungering for happiness and thirsting for fulfillment in all the wrong places. Correct? All the wrong places. He's feeding on what is not nourishing. Correct? He's feeding on what? What is not nourishing. He's hoping it fills him, but he is starving. You see, the heart of every man was created not for pleasure, not for your control, and not for possessions. When God designed you, he designed you for what? He designed you so that you would have a hunger and a thirst for him. And blessed are you if you have a hunger and a thirst for him. Wow, I don't know about you, when I saw that picture, it looks a lot like me. You see, people try to satisfy the hunger for God with all the wrong things. They do not seek the bread of life. Amen? They do not. Jesus said what? I am the bread of life. I have come down from heaven for you. I am the bread of life. And anyone that eats off of me shall live, John 6:51, forever. That is what Jesus Christ is talking about. Wow. At this time, I've asked Steve Andrews to come, and I've asked Steve to share a little bit about his life and where he's at spiritually. Thank you, Steve.
Good morning. My name is Steve, and I'm a Christian and a recovering alcoholic. I was introduced to God many years ago when I was at my lowest point. It took a few more years for me to listen to God and accept him into my life so he could pick me up and clean me up. After that, I started going to the church, which I learned more about God, and more I found out about him, the more I wanted to spend the rest of my life with him. So I started helping out around the church, always was there when someone needed help. This is what I thought God wanted of me. This went on for years. Then about 26 years ago, I came to Messiah and came with the same thinking about helping out with anything or anybody. I devoted more time helping people and working that I was not listening to what God was trying to tell me because I was hard-headed and a selfish man. I thought I knew what to do. About a year ago, I went to a men's retreat, the first time in 26 years, and found out that God wanted from me a relationship with me and to talk to me and for me to talk and confide in him. Wow. This was a big light that went on in me, that doing good, helping out was not the only thing God wanted from me. He first wanted a relationship. So right then I started to talk to God and started up a relationship with him. I have learned that he wanted a right relationship with me, so when I get up in the morning, I talk to him. When I'm on my way to work, I talk to him. When I'm going out for a job, I ask him to help me with a problem so I can fix the job. I talk to him throughout the day to help me and be with me. I know I have a long way to go to get a deeper relationship with him and many more steps to go through. But I'm looking forward to doing that because I know, in the end, I will spend eternity with him as long as I have a right relationship with him, and he will satisfy me.
Woo! Quite the journey. What's yours like? Steve was looking in all the wrong places for over 26 years. Totally empty. Now he's learning what? Seek the Lord. Hunger and thirst for relationship. Steve has got it. Amen?
Amen.
He is now living in the kingdom of God. Thank you, Lord. Number two, I want to be clear on this because real Christians, according to Jesus, blessed are they who what? Hunger and thirst for real Christians then. If you're a real Christian, then you what? You hunger and you thirst for what?
Righteousness.
You all know what righteousness means? It means you hunger and you thirst to stay in right relationship with Jesus Christ. And that is how you live. You live for what? Righteousness. Right relationship with God. And you hunger. And you know that for you to live a day without right relationship with God, you are empty. You get it. And once you get it, you go what? Today, now, all I want is what? Right relationship with God. End of the story. I am living in the kingdom of God. I am living by the principles Jesus Christ himself told me to live by. And all God's people said. I want to go over the two aspects of righteousness because I think there are two. First, righteousness. Someone who hungers and thirsts for righteousness first will hunger and thirst for salvation. Right? How many of you know what happened to you when you started to understand that you were a sinner? You actually began to realize you're not as close to God as you think. You are actually wicked. You, Nate, are a sinner. What did you do with that? You hungered and you thirsted for salvation. And when you hungered for salvation, the Lord said, Nate, you're mine. I'm going to quench the thirst of your salvation.
Amen.
You're good.
Hallelujah.
But it's not just salvation. Righteousness also means you're not only saved, but it also means you are sanctified. Because once you got saved, it did not stop. Correct? Once you got saved and you were in right relationship, now you're going to what? Hunger and thirst for holiness. That is the normal progression of any Christian who's operating in God's kingdom. You are hungering not just for salvation, you are hungering for right relationship every single day of your life. And if you are hungering for that righteousness, you're good. So it's two aspects. First one is what? Salvation. You hungered for it. The Lord gave it to you. The second, right relationship, has to do with your sanctification. Wow. And I want to say this. You have a hunger, if you're operating in the kingdom of God, that will never, ever cease. Do you understand? Actually, if you get it, like Steve gets it, what will you do? I'm saved. Now what? I am going to thirst and hunger for a closer relationship with him. For how long? The rest of your life. Will it ever end? Will it ever end? It will never, ever end. For those, Steve, you are on the right path, Steve. The hunger that you have for God is like, I cannot live without you any longer. I've tried it. It doesn't work. I am now going to go after God like I'm starving and I need him to get by every single day of my life. You, Steve, are in the kingdom of God. You are living by the manifesto that Jesus Christ himself set down for you. And you are in good hands. And all of God's people said,
amen.
Amen. I'm glad it never stops. Actually, your desire will get what? Greater. And greater. It will not get, I'm a Christian, and I'm getting less and less. Your hunger will what? Greater. I need God more today than I did yesterday. I need God more now than I needed him this morning. I am living according to the kingdom of God, seeking after righteousness all day long. And all of God's people said.
Amen.
You see, can you put up the next slide? That should be you right there. How many of you, that's you? I love that picture. Because that is a Christian who is what? Hungering and thirsting for what? Right relationship with God. And that right relationship with God will just get stronger and stronger in you. And if you're here today and you say, Pastor, what's going on with me? Let me be clear. Dave, you are hungering for Christ. You are, hey, I can't live the way I lived yesterday. Unless I have right relationship with God now, I am not going to make it in this world. You're on the right path. And all God's people said.
Amen.
That should be every Christian. Why? You keep on hungering. Right, Nate?
Yes.
You keep on staying thirsty. You want more of God. You want more virtue. You want greater purity. You want to become more like Christ today than you did yesterday. You are operating by the manifesto of Jesus Christ because you now know hungering and thirsting for righteousness is what my whole life is about. And the more you hunger and thirst, the better off you are. Because God calls you blessed. Get it? Wow. You see, citizens of Jesus Christ's kingdom, you will never stop. How many of you figured this out? Have you figured it out? How many of you figured it out? Raise your hand if you figured this out. Like, gee, last year I was hungry. Holy cow, what's going on? I am more hungry this year than I was last year. That's right. You are operating by Jesus Christ's manifesto. You are operating by the spiritual principles he told you to live by. Wow. Philippians, I love what Paul says in Philippians 1:9. Paul says it this way. Think of this. See, Paul, the Apostle Paul, got this too. Paul says this, I pray. Imagine having a man pray for you. I pray that your love, what? May grow, what? You might abound, how? How? More and more. More and more. Imagine me praying for you. Yeah, you're in one place. I'm praying. You are so hungry. I'm praying you're so hungry every single day of your life. You're like, I need more. I need more. I need more. And I do pray for you that way. Because I want you to operate under Jesus Christ's manifesto. And not your own. Amen? Actually, what Jesus would have said here is, blessed are you who continually hunger and thirst. Is that you? You're continually saying, unless I have right relationship with God, I cannot live. You are blessed. Because your hunger will what? Never, ever end. And that is awesome. Ah, I love this. So no matter how much you might say today, I love, I can clearly tell you what? No, you need to what? You're not there. You need to what? Love. More. Some of you like, I already serve. Let me be clear, you're not done. You actually need to serve more. Some of you say, I pray once in a while. Let me be clear, you need to pray more. Some of you say, oh, I already obey. Let me tell you something. You need more obedience in your life today than you've ever needed. Paul said it clearly. What? I pray more. And more. How many of you are there? I pray you are. This is how you live in the kingdom of Jesus Christ. I want to continue my story with Marcia, because this is an amazing thing that happened. Shortly after Herbert had broken Marcia's engagement, and by the way, he broke her heart, He did marry Betty. He went back to Jordan and he married Betty. And he still stayed as a doctor in Israel. Marcia was recovering from the heartache, but she remembered the words of the Lord never to speak bad of him, and she never did. She was recovering, and she was still delivering all these babies in Nazareth Hospital. In those days, with Marcia being in missionary work, they would give her 2 weeks holiday. And Marcia loved Tel Aviv. So Marcia would leave Nazareth, and she would vacation in Tel Aviv. She loved Tel Aviv. One day, many years after Herbert and Betty were married, and while Marcia was enjoying her time in the beach of Tel Aviv, Marcia received a telegram. The missionary board needed her to serve urgently. She was asked to go to a school in Tel Aviv and stay there. Marcia was confused about the telegram. Why? I'm a nurse. Why go to a school? Why would they send me to a school? But she went to the school. The head of the missionary board was there and explained to her that there were 6 children who were in need of care while their parents had been called out of the country urgently. It would only be a respite, they told her, 3 days, and then they would get a governess to take care of those children. Marcia said what? Yes, I'll take care of the kids for 3 days. She was ushered into that schoolroom, and 6 sets of little eyes were on her. Something was very familiar about these kids, especially the oldest boy. But she did not know what it could be. She took the little boy outside and started to play with him, and the oldest boy started to cry. Marcia went outside with the little boy, and through his crying, he covered up his eyes and just sobbed and said to Marcia, "My father has been in a head-on collision with a large supply truck, and he might lose his leg in surgery. Would he be able to go back to the ministry, to his children? What would happen to them all?" Marcia's heart was moved by the children's crying. And just as she was putting her arms around the child said something to Marcia that blew her away. The oldest son said, "My dad's a doctor. My mom's a nurse. I hope my father can find a good doctor and nurse and heal his leg." The light went on. These children were Herbert's and Betty's. She saw it. She looked in his face, and she knew who he was. Wow. But she was hurt, and she wanted to run. Her hurt was deep. She went to the Lord, and she cried, "I'm hungry and I'm thirsty for you, Lord." And the Lord said to her, "Marcia, more obedience. Marcia, more love. Marcia, more forgiveness." Oh my goodness. Marcia stayed. She took care of those six children, lived in the house. Probably should have been hers. What would you do? How many of you would run? Too hard, too difficult. I'm not going to look inside. You see, Marcia did the hard thing because she knew how to live. And Marcia knew how to what? Hunger and thirst after Christ and his righteousness. Have you learned it? Oh, it's not an easy lesson, but it is one that we need to know. I want more of you. I want you to hunger and thirst after me like you've never done before. And Marcia, you will never get to a place. You will always be hungry. You will always seek me. And all God's people said,
amen.
Thank God for a woman who knew the power of hungering and thirsting after a true God who is the lover of her soul. I am blessed to have her in my life because of her impact. But I want to be perfectly clear with you. Number three, and that is what? There is a promise. So let's go over the promise. Blessed are you who hunger and thirst for righteousness, right relationship, always. You, tell me the promise. Let's go over this because you got to get the promise. You will what? Be filled. You, if you live this way, I will satisfy you. And all God's people said.
Amen.
The word here, chotazos, is a strong word, and it actually means if you continue to come after me, I will continue to fill you with every good thing you need in your life. How many like the promise? How many don't like the first part, hungry and thirsting? You don't get the second without the first. You don't get filled until you what? Hunger and I want to go over this again. You're not snacking. And all God's people said.
Amen.
You're not snacking. You're not going for a little of Jesus. You're going for everything that Jesus has. Because he is your passion. You shall be satisfied. And day after day, when you think and you know that God is calling you to do His will, you know, how many of you know this? He will satisfy you. Have you figured this out? I've got it. I'm not saying I'm always there, but I got this one. If I'm hungering and thirsting for right relationship with God, I have experienced His filling for my soul when it's been on empty. I get it. Wow. Every day, do His will. Obey Him. He will grant you everything you need. You know what? I want to say this to you. How many of you know you can know a kingdom person? Are you okay with that? Could you know a kingdom person by this principle? I believe you absolutely will know. You will know a kingdom person. You will know who's not a kingdom person. It is that clear. Because in the kingdom, they are what? They're going after Jesus Christ. They want to stay in right relationship. And it doesn't matter what it costs them. They will seek Him to the day they die. They're easy to see, guys. And those who operate without this are also easy to see. Why? They have a consuming desire. Consuming. Correct? And that consuming desire is not for possessions. Right? It's not for you to be in control. Right? It's not for you to say, I just want to live for my own self-pleasure. No, no. It's not that. If you're doing that one, you're feeding in places that are only going to make you more and more empty. Correct? Seek for righteousness. That person gets it. I need Jesus. Someone came to me the other day and was talking to me about a person in this church. And I said, how do you know them? You know what they said? They're not even a Christian. You know what the person said to me? Oh, they're a Jesus person. Can you imagine that? Even non-believers know Jesus people. There's a Jesus person. Oh, how'd you know that? Oh, they must have sensed it. Why? Hunger. Thirsting for God like I can't make it through life. They get Jesus people. Believe me, it's easy to see. And all God's people said.
Amen.
Be a Jesus person. Back to Marcia. Marcia decided to remain with those children for the 3 days. And then she made a swift exit back to Tel Aviv. Every time she looked at those kids' faces, she felt the twinge of the pain that she had from the broken relationship. But she mused. For 3 days, I can handle anything. Day three came and left, and she was fine. The children were delighted in her, and they loved Marcia. Unbelievable, amen? Unbelievable! She enjoyed them. Marcia was up in her room packing to go back, and the head of the missionary board came to her and said, Marcia, I have discovered the story about you and Dr. Hebert. I cannot even imagine the pain you must be going through. This must be very hard for you. We are grateful that you stayed for the 3 days. But we've not been able to find anyone for those 6 kids for the next 3 months. We were wondering, Marcia, if you would consider moving into their house, taking care of their children. Yeah, oh my goodness. Marcia looked at him and said, that would be very difficult. It would be excruciatingly painful to stay in that house, take care of their children, seeing their lives together. It would be hard. She told me later, she said, I knew that I did not want to do this assignment, but I knew something greater. And let's be clear. What is it? I didn't want to do it, But I knew there was something greater. Let's get it down. Come on, guys. What's the greater? What's the greater? Come on. Hunger and thirst for righteousness. I got it. Yes, this is hard, but I got it. How many know Marcia? You see, Marcia got it. She's not just looking for the answer like many people do. She's hungering and thirsting for God, knowing that she will be satisfied by her God. So you all know what she did. She went back. She said to them, I'll take the kids for 3 months. I will live in that house. But something happened to Marcia during that time. Oh, guess what? This is wonderful, guys. Of course! You all know what happened, right? Woo! What happened? She hungered, right? She thirsted for God, right? She did the hard thing. But tell me what she got. No, she got satisfied. You know how she got satisfied? The pain she had over the man she thought she wanted to marry, the Lord showed her, wrong man. I actually protected you from that man. That was not the man for you. How did she get that? How did she figure that out, guys? Let's get this right. Don't be amazed at this. How did she figure it out? Marianne, how did she figure it out? She what? Hungered and thirsted for Christ. And what did Christ do? Showed her it was the wrong man. Don't leave out the hunger and thirsting, guys. Oh, I want the blessing without the hunger. You're not getting the blessing without the hunger. And I love this. The Lord did much more than that. I appreciate he healed her over the hurt. But you know what else he did for her? Can you see it? Anybody here? What did he do? Can you see anything else that the Lord might do? Come on, speak up. What did he do for her? He what? He gave her a love for those kids. What did the Lord do? He satisfied her. She wanted what? A family. I'll use your pain to satisfy you. She said, God, satisfy me. And the Lord gave her a family. And I'll tell you what, the day she died, I was there. And guess who she's thinking of on her deathbed? She says to me, I've got a family. But you see, I knew something else. What? She hungered and she thirsted for God. And God not only healed her, but gave her another family to satisfy her soul that could have never, ever taken place if she ran away and decided to hunger and thirst after possessions and money and everything else, pleasure. She would have never been satisfied. Do you understand? I love these pictures of her. Show me the last one. This is Marcia. Joy, pure joy. Go to the next one because this is my favorite one. There she is, dying. And what's she doing? She's praying over my daughter. Why? She's hungered and she's thirst, and the Lord is satisfying her to pass on the life that he had given to her to now pass on to my Caitlin. Satisfied? Oh, my goodness. But look at the next one, because I'll never forget this. There she is, 2 weeks before she's dying. She's reading her word. Show me the next one. Listen to this. She's with me 2 weeks before she's dying. We're celebrating her birthday. And you can't see it, but let me tell you something about her. Her face was shining like I've never seen anyone's face shine. As I looked at Marcia dying, she had such joy and a smile inside of her. It was not natural. It was because what? The Lord had satisfied her very soul. And I want to tell you something else. Where is she today? Where is she today? In heaven. And tell me what the Lord is doing with her today, because she's a kingdom person. The Lord is what? Satisfying her soul. Have you got it? Did you figure it out yet? Are you living by the principles of God? Or are you snacking on God? looking everywhere else to be fulfilled. Are you desperate? You will not be able to function in the kingdom of God until you learn this lesson. And all God's people said.
Amen.
So in closing this morning, it's a very powerful principle, isn't it? I guess I'd like to close with one thing. I have one question for you. This is very simple. Very simple. You can figure this out. I know you can. For some of you, it might be really hard because you have to look inside. But I want to ask you something. Are you, forget about me, forget about the person next to you, are you a person who hungers and thirsts? Would you say, Pastor, that's me. Would you say that's you? I got a quiz for you. Here's how you figure it out. One, all you have to do is ask yourself this. Are you satisfied with yourself? Are you satisfied with yourself? Have you gone after everything you want and say, hey, I am fully satisfied? What would be your answer? Or how many of you would say, you know what, I am satisfied because I've hungered and I've thirsted for a living God in a parched place, and he has satisfied my soul. You see, you can figure it out very, very easily. My prayer for you and for me is that Jesus gives us the answer, correct? Does Jesus not give us the answer about the kingdom? Salvation and sanctification. Is not the answer clear today? Oh, yeah, it's clear. Jesus answers us. And the answer for you is what? Let's get it right. The answer is not your problems outside of you, and I know you all want to go there. But that's not your answer, guys. According to the words of Jesus, your answer is what? Mike, what is it? What's the answer? You hunger and you thirst for God, for a living God. And you're never satisfied until he fills that void inside of you. And every day you get up and you want more and more of it. Because you know you are living in his kingdom. And that is the way he told you to live. And you are obedient to that. And you're not living for yourself, getting all focused on how about me, what about me. No, it's nothing about you. Stop worrying about yourself so much. We're talking about the kingdom of God and his people operating in his kingdom with a hunger and a thirst that will never be satisfied. And you will rejoice. I love Jesus, don't you?
Yes.
Wow, the depth of his kingdom. The depth of the Beatitudes, the depth of the blessing. I have only one thing to say, and that is thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. You are a great, great God. And all God's people said.
Amen.
Well, maybe you're here today and you're saying to me, hey, Pastor, you know, I don't have any of that. Listen, don't be afraid of that. Some of you don't have what I'm talking about. But don't let that scare you. You go to God and you say, what? Give me a hunger and a thirst for you so I can be satisfied. You don't have to stay the way you are, right? You don't have to stay the way you are. You can actually go to God and say, I am dissatisfied. I'm not living this way. But you're not stuck because the love of the Lord is still there for you, right? You can go to God and say, Lord, teach me how to hunger and thirst for you so that I will be satisfied. None of you are stuck. Some of you might be afraid to look at yourself. Oh, yeah. I understand that, but none of you are stuck. You just have a choice to make, and I want to encourage you to obey the word of God. Blessed are they who hunger and thirst for right relationship with God. For you will what? You will be satisfied. It is the promise of Jesus Christ himself. Oh, thank you, Lord. If you're here today, and I know this is a hard lesson for learning. The world would love to get us to hunger and thirst after all the wrong stuff. But wow, as Jesus clarified it, clearly, distinctively, on the head. You know, if you're here today and you want that, let me just be clear. The Lord wants that for you. It is His desire for you to live that way.